Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A local man who volunteers for the Red Cross knows what it's like to respond to natural disasters like Hurricane Harvey. Let's go in depth with Chuck Reeves from Knoxville. Chuck, how long have you volunteered for the Red Cross?
About 9 years now.
And what made you want to do that?
Tell you the truth, I was thinking about that on the way in here, and the actual catalyst was when I was working at 3M. I'm good friends with Billy Hugh, and also good friends and classmates with Mike Cunningham, and those two went to Katrina, and I thought that was one of the neatest things and a very special thing to do, and I thought if I ever get the chance, I think I want to do that. So that's what got me started after I retired.
Well, and you helped with one of the other big hurricanes, what big giant weather events before, didn't you?
I've deployed nationally twice. I was in Nashville for the flooding down there, and then a couple of years after that, Hurricane Irene, which was the one just before Sandy.
And how bad was Irene?
Irene was, it was all spread out. I did some work in New Jersey for about a week and a half, and then we moved to Hazleton, Pennsylvania, and all the Susquehanna River Valley. And there were a lot of damage there, a lot of people that were homeless.
And what did you do?
For that particular one, I started working on the feeding vans. I'd seen that after Nashville. I saw they're called ERVs, emergency response vehicles. And I thought I'd like to do that, took some more training, and that's what I did for Irene.
Well, what is the training like for those of you that respond to these disasters?
You can do a lot of different training. I've trained for client casework to fill out paperwork, which is what I do locally for fire victims. But I also, in order to drive the ERV, I've had to take a safe driving course. There's other courses on how the ERV operates and the specific ways you use it. I also had to take a safe food handling course because you are handling food and you're distributing that to a lot of people, so you have to know how to do that safely.
Okay, and so I just see a big line of people and you passing out food and scooping food or meals ready to eat or whatever?
It can be any one of the above. I've delivered meals ready to eat. Smaller disasters, we'll work with a local grocery store or a caterer, and we'll say we need 200 meals. They'll make the meals, and then we'll go out and deliver them. For the bigger disasters like this, and like Irene, the Red Cross partners with the Southern Baptists. The Southern Baptists come in and set up big portable kitchens, and they make the meals, and we deliver them and serve them.
And so maybe clean up afterwards and stuff like that, like at a big community event, some of that stuff?
We just serve the meals. Okay. And we'll do that for a lunch, two hot meals a day. We'll serve a lunch and a supper meal.
Do you ever get to know some of the people that you're helping out?
Yeah, a lot of times, if you're there for 2 weeks, you meet them the first day, and a lot of times if you're in the same area, you'll go back to the same area and see some of the same people. And that's really fulfilling, seeing them. And after the first day, you go into an area and you've got a PA in the truck and you go, hot meals, Red Cross has hot meals. And after the first day, they start coming out and coming toward you in a big hurry.
Well, and you're not seeing them at their best, are you? This is maybe the worst moment of some of their lives.
Yeah, it really is. And you have to have a lot of empathy for them. In a lot of cases, you might end up giving them hugs. You might end up crying right along with them. So.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Red Cross volunteer Chuck Reeves. Well, now I have a variety of memories on, you know, of times that you help people out with fires when I'll see you on site. I remember seeing you and know that you've helped out a lot of different instances. One of the most memorable times for me is when there was a couple with their baby, a fire in the middle of the night, and they were out. I think the mom was in her pajamas and dad was in his underwear, and you were there helping them get a room for the night and with their kids, and I think they had a dog.
That's what we do. Red Cross's mission is immediate food, clothing, and shelter. And that's the end that we'll do in minor disasters. A fire is not it's a major disaster to that individual. It really is. So we do everything we can to help them as much as we can. I've got prescribed limits that I can do, and we can try to help them get through the first few days until others can come in and continue the support.
And so you can get that phone call anytime, day or night.
Yeah, our emergency management man has me on speed dial, and so do the local fire chiefs. So
they'll let you know they need some help.
Yeah, they're supposed to. They call into. There's a national number for Red Cross, and then I get a call back from Red Cross. But in the meantime, I've got a second call that said, "Hey, I've called the office. You need to head this way." So
then you'll get the call.
I get the call on the way I go.
And does the national office know you've probably already been there? Or do they want you to wait for approval?
No, they know that in this county anyway, that's the way it works, that I will start that way. And I will, you know, I work with the national office. I can't go against them, but I will respond to anything, whether or not any relief is given is after I get there and I see what's going on and then make a decision on whether any help is given or not.
Because some people might not need it, but others, they might be able to stay with family or...
Yep.
And some listeners might be guessing what I'm getting to, but you're going to Houston, aren't you?
Yes, I am. We leave tomorrow about noon, and there's a young man that's got an herb, which is, like I said, it's an emergency response vehicle in Minnesota. Actually, there are herbs in every state of the Union. Iowa has six of them. All six of Iowa's have already headed south. They're already there. They're sending some more. A young man from Minnesota is taking one from St. Cloud. He's never been out on an herb before. He's going to stop by here and pick me up since I've had some experience, and we're going to head down tomorrow about noon.
So by the time this airs, you'll be there.
I'll be on my way.
You'll be on your way. You won't be quite there.
Yeah.
Wow. So you're going with a guy, and the herb you said was from Minnesota, or is he picking up an Iowa one?
No, it's coming out of Minnesota. All the Iowa ones are gone. To give you an idea how many, like in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, when we were feeding out of there, we were feeding 6,000 meals a day, and there was a lineup of between 50 and 100 herbs lined up to get their meals and go out and start delivering them.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Red Cross volunteer Chuck Reeves. And so how did this work out? Did they just call you and say, "Chuck, we need you in Houston," or did you call and tell them?
Actually, I called and told them when Pat, my wife, and I were watching the news when it first came ashore and we saw how bad it was. Pat looked at me and she said, "Chuck, you got to go." She's had health problems over the last few years, and I've not been able to go, but this time she says, "I'm good enough. I've got a good support system." She says, "You need to go help those people." So she's the driving force behind me. And once she said that, then I made a call to Des Moines, and they said, "We'll put you on the list." And within about 36 hours, I was called. So
It's just gotten worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. Everything I can see, they're asking, they're in the process of calling every Red Cross volunteer in the state of Iowa and asking if they're available to go. They just need everybody. It's just so widespread.
So it takes, as you said, your wife, Pat, was really the force behind you going.
Yep.
It takes a supportive family, doesn't it? There's husbands and wives across the country doing the same thing.
Yep, yeah. We're all giving up our normal lives and giving to somebody else for at least 2 weeks. And then we'll rotate back and some more will go. So
it's normally a 2 week thing?
Anymore, you try to guarantee a 2 week deployment, yeah. They've got a lot of time invested in you. And so you're gonna guarantee them. And 2 weeks is a long time because you'll be probably working 12-hour days. My last two deployments, we were very lucky we stayed in motels. There aren't any motels this time. So I'll be with 50 or 100 of my closest Red Cross friends on a cot in a gym somewhere, if I'm lucky.
Or a church pew or
church
something.
Church pew, something, yeah.
Do you know what you're going to do? You're going to do food again then?
We're going to do food, yeah. We're going to be feeding people, so. And it may not just be meals. We also do water. Snacks, delivered to FEMA centers, delivered to other relief centers. We deliver meals ready to eat. We deliver hot meals. We deliver, like say, water and snacks, just whatever they want then.
Well, and Houston is a big place, lots of suburbs, and it's not just Houston, it's the whole countryside. Do you know specifically where you're going?
No, I don't. I really don't. The guy in Minnesota, maybe he does. I'm supposed to be in contact with him here in the next hour or so. And maybe I'll find out then. But somewhere between Louisiana and Texas. It could be in Houston, could be south of Houston, it could be anywhere in that area. There's a lot of devastation. Just wherever they need us.
So you could be in right downtown in the worst place, or you could be in a small town, few hundred people.
Yeah, and some of those small towns that have lost everything.
Boy, I can just think of all the head scratching that the Red Cross must be doing, the planners thinking about who do we deploy where. I mean, how would you even know how to do that? I guess that's what preparedness and emergency planning is for. They've already probably mocked out these scenarios.
Yeah, Red Cross has been at this for a long time. Katrina was a big example. They learned a lot from Katrina. They learned a lot from Sandy. The infrastructure is set up for this. They're very good at it. They're going to be really hard pressed, though. They're saying more than Katrina, more than Sandy. And the driving force behind everything is it's all donated money from the American public. That's what Red Cross runs on. So if you can't go, if people can't go, they want to help open their pocketbooks because we're going to need a lot of money in order to do this and to continue to do it because this will go on for not just a few weeks. They'll be down there for months or more.
So those of us that don't have the training or don't have the ability to go down, we can go down with you if we
yep.
donate.
Yep. And that's very, very necessary.
Mm-hmm. Is there a number people can call? Or
I don't have a specific phone number. Best thing, get on your computer and bring up American Red Cross, and I'll guarantee you there'll be something pop up. Donate to this hurricane.
Do you feel that you're representing Iowa, Knoxville, you know, the rest of us in some small way when you go and do this stuff?
Sure. Sure, I do. You talk to people, and you know they're asking you, well, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Well, I'm from a little town in Iowa." And they said, "Really? You've came all this way to help us?" Yeah, that's what Red Cross does. So, it's a super neat feeling. I'm so proud to be able to do this. It's something I wanted to do. It's something I feel it's really necessary for me to do, and I love doing it. I love helping people, both here and nationally if I can. And I finally got another chance to do it nationally, so.
Thanks to Chuck Reeves for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.